Hallelujah. Can we take a moment to pray for the territory and to ask that God will open the land to the power of the gospel, that everything that has been held down by the kingdom of darkness will be compelled to set at liberty that which God has ordained. Can we raise our voice in a moment to pray for this land? It's a strategic place. The Lord set his foot here centuries ago to plant the seed of light. We want to make demands from heaven that that light will spring forth in its fullness, in its full potential, in its full capacity. Can we cry to him in a moment of time? Lord, look upon this land. You chose this place as a platform of visitation to penetrate the regions of southeastern Nigeria. You raised a tower of light through the Anglican mission in this land. We refuse that darkness will take over. We refuse that demons will be worshipped here. We refuse that the cause of the devil will prosper in the land. Raise your voice and cry to him in the we refuse this. Satan will not capture Onitsha. There is a seed of God that has been planted in the territory. God must have a harvest from Onitsha. God must have a harvest from the investment that he made here more than a century ago. His harvest must come. His harvest must come. The kingdom of darkness cannot manipulate it. His harvest must come. It will come in our generation. It must come in our lifetime. That such among us that are here present will capture an ordination of God that will be translated into the much awaited harvest that God is expecting from the land, from the city of Onitsha. Can you destroy every implement of the kingdom of darkness that have been planted in the territory to hinder the harvest of God? Destroy it. Rebel against it. Come against it tonight. Oh Father, oh God, we call upon your name. We cry concerning the land. We cry concerning eastern Nigeria. Let this beast that troubles the land, let the beast be arrested. Let peace come into the territory in the name of Jesus. Father, this is our plea tonight. Send reinforcement from heaven to the city of Onitsha. Let there be angelic reinforcement in this city. And let everything that you have not planted be rooted out in the name of Jesus Christ. We ask that your mighty hand will come upon young men, young women from this conference. Your mighty hand of fire, your mighty hand of power. Let this hand, let the seed that you will sow be viable. Let it take root in the hearts of men. In the name of Jesus Christ. Let the spirit of prayer begin to inflict the sons and the daughters of men in the land. Let the language of prayer become robust in the territory. And let it swallow up everything that you have not planted in the name of Jesus Christ. Every satanic move that is beginning to prosper, every new technology in the kingdom of darkness that is beginning to attract people, every agenda to make people wealthy by darkness that is corrupting the upcoming generation. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we command that altar to fall. Fall! 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 In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hey, can we ask him anything that was buried in the ground to advance the kingdom of darkness, to tie the territory to darkness, to tie the land to iniquity, to tie the land to violence, to tie the land to bloodshed. That which was buried, we neutralize his power. Raise your voice, let us cry. I see something in the ground. We reclaim the ground. We reclaim the territory. We uproot it in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Finally, can we ask that God will begin to anoint ministers in the territory afresh, especially with the handle of the supernatural, a fresh anointing, a fresh impartation, a fresh release of grace. Can we pray for the ministers in the land? Can we pray for the ministers in the land? A fresh grace, a fresh ability, a fresh enablement by God. Oh, Lord, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. Put your hand on every minister of the gospel. Put a fresh grace on your people. Put a fresh grace on their wives. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lord, it is time to send us rain. We thank you for mercy drops that we have seen here and there, but we trust you for rain. Send us rain. Send us refreshing from the presence of the Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. Four significant things we must note. First thing, so because of time, we're going to be fast today so that we'll have sufficient time to minister to the afflicted in our midst. The first thing that you must understand, if you are going to maximize the hand of God that is upon your life, if you are going to fully translate the potential of the spiritual capital that God has bestowed upon you, four significant things are paramount. One, you must acknowledge your spiritual inadequacy. You must acknowledge your spiritual inadequacy. You know, we saw it yesterday. I want to read the scripture to us. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning from verse number 5. Your inadequacy must come to you as a revelation. It must touch your heart. It must become an ever-present knowledge that is rooted on your heart that I am insufficient, I am incapacitated, I am a bundle of infirmity,
and I desperately need the help of God. Now, if it has not come to you as a revelation, because anything that doesn't affect your heart cannot change your life. If all you have is head knowledge doesn't have the ability to effect transformation. And that's why when we listen to sermons, we are supposed to take the points that are mentioned in the sermons and travel with them in the place of prayer, so that God can cause a migration from cerebral to heart. The farthest distance is not from east to west. The farthest distance is the distance from your head to your heart. And if something doesn't touch your heart, it cannot transform your life. So we are not expecting that the measurement of the impact of this meeting will be the cerebral revelations that were released, but it will be the decisions that people made in order to journey with God in a bid to translate things that have been captured in the mind to become realities that are sustained in the heart. Are you with me? Alright, so the first thing that we must know, it must come to you as a revelation. Because if it comes to you as a revelation, it's going to drive the entirety of your walk with God. You must acknowledge your spiritual inadequacy. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5, the Bible says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. This is one scripture. Now, this is the philosophy that Paul had. That was the reason for which he was able to secure so much grace from God. He knew that he was insufficient. And if you turn your Bible to the book of Romans chapter 8 verse 26, the Bible reveals something that looks like division of labor in that scripture. Because the Bible seems to say that it is the Spirit that helpeth our infirmities. It's as if in the Godhead there is division of labor. And the member of the Godhead that is assigned to ensure that we receive help from our infirmities happens to be the Spirit of God. If you go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you will see that there are diversities of gifts but the same Spirit. There are diversities of administrations but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God that worketh all in all. So you will see that the umpire for gifts is the Spirit. The umpire for administrations or ministries or services is the Lord Jesus. And the umpire, the one behind operations territorially, is the Father. So in the Godhead, you will find a certain member of the Godhead might be assigned to a particular aspect. For instance, the Bible says it is the Spirit that quickeneth. Are you with me? The flesh profit nothing. So when we talk about the agency of God that is put in place to help our weaknesses, to help our insufficiencies, that agency of God happens to be the Holy Spirit. But you see, the ministry of the Holy Spirit in helping us to overcome our insufficiencies will not be activated if we do not acknowledge our incapacity. And are you with me? When the Lord begins to empower you and it becomes visible, becomes notable that the hand of God is upon you, if you are not discipled in the ways of the Lord, there is a possibility for you to come out with pride. Meanwhile, the system of the new covenant is the system of grace. I know so many of us, they are theologians, so I don't need to tell you about grace. But that's the system that powers the new covenant. The previous system that was obtainable was the system of the law. And in the system of the law, God makes acquaints us with his expectations, with his value systems, with his ideals, and he leaves us to furnish his ideals from the resources of our humanity. So it's not the standards of God that are wrong. It's just that we are so fallen that in our fallen state we lack the capacity to provide the expectation that God sustains. So in the New Testament, a different system is put in place, and it's the system of grace. And in the system of grace, it's not as if God reduced the standard. Indeed, he increased it. But he creates an enablement possibility within the covenant. And this enablement possibility, the reality of this enablement possibility, is the activity of the Holy Spirit, giving us the capacity to be able to live up to the expectation that God sustains. Oh, you are not with me. Well, I notice you are not here, so because of that, we need to take that point deeper. If you had gotten the point, we'll go to the next one. But you didn't get it. In the book of Romans, therefore, I'd like to show you a few things. The book of Romans chapter 6. And I'll like us to see there is for every layer of investment that God makes, there is an expectation that heaven sustains. Every layer of investment. Now, are you there in Romans? In Romans chapter 6, verse 1, we have a question. And if in Romans chapter 5, we begin to see Apostle Paul trying to educate us and to give us insight into the two aspects of our redemption, the legal side and the living side. The attempt at satisfying the claims of divine justice vis-a-vis the organic reality that is powered by the Holy Spirit. Because the fall of man touched on the justice system of heaven, there is a judicial aspect of our salvation. It was God himself that came to Adam in the garden to reveal the position of the justice system of heaven in a situation where Adam eats of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God showed him that the consequence from the perspective of justice is that he will have to die. In fact, in the Hebrew it is written, in dying ye shall surely die. In the day that you eat of this fruit, in dying ye shall surely die. You shall die without fail. That's the position of the justice system of heaven. Are you with me? So in the book of Romans chapter 5, the judicial aspect of our redemption was adequately captured, and how that the death of Jesus Christ satisfied the claims of divine justice. So the quarrel that God had with humankind was stated on the account of what Jesus did on the cross. And what is left for every man on earth is to identify what Jesus did by exercising faith in the accomplishments of the cross. Now, after Paul had shown us the judicial aspect, Paul now showed us the organic aspect. And he began talking about the organic aspect of our salvation from the book of Romans chapter 5, verse 10. In Romans chapter 5, verse 10, I just want to give us a background before we go to Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 5 verse 10, he gives us a summary of the judicial aspect and gives us an entry into the organic aspect. For he says, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son." That's the judicial aspect. Reconciliation with God was achieved by Jesus satisfying the claims of divine justice. So he gives a summary of how reconciliation was achieved. Our quarrel with God was settled because Jesus came and satisfied the requirements of justice. So if you are preaching to a new convert and you are compelled to give the convert a little insight into the realities of his salvation, if you say, are you with me? If you say, the way God saved us is by his love, because it is written, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life." If that's all you say, your presentation is defective. Now, let me give you an idea. Maybe I'm a principal of a school. Are you with me? Stay with me. I'm a principal of the school, and part of the prospectus, the content of the prospectus of the school is that if you break this speaker, you will pay $100,000. It's on the prospectus. So everyone that gains admission to the school is given that document. And the speaker survived many academic sessions until my own child now, me, the principal, my own child now gains admission to the school. And then my child is not the one that breaks the speaker. So my wife now comes and says, but it's our son. The fact that it's our son and we love him does not change the position that is on the prospectus. In fact, because it's our son and I love him, that is the reason why I will take money from my account and pay the $100,000 to satisfy the demand of the prospectus. So it is not just empty love we are talking about. Are you with me? It's an active love that was revealed in an effort to satisfy justice. Are you there? It's an active love. That is what? Revealed in an effort to satisfy justice. So if you need to go deeper on that, your presentation, you need to bring the judicial aspect to support that love agenda, so that the person will know that, are you there? Our salvation is rooted in law. So even though God changes his mind that he's no longer loving us, he cannot change the position of law. Okay, you didn't get it. I'm very sorry for bringing you here because you didn't get it. Okay, the syllabus, we have cut it. The syllabus has been mutilated. Are you there? So the judicial aspect has been fulfilled, and he's saying in the judicial charter that the basis of our reconciliation with God was the death of his son, so justice was satisfied. But the reason for which justice was satisfied and the reason for which redemption became possible, necessary, is because God was offering us participation in his kingdom as his original plan. That was what he offered Adam in the Garden of Eden. If we want to define this man called Adam, there is no way we can define man, M-A-N, in the plan of God outside of God's dream, God's ambition, to include man as an administrative personnel in his kingdom, so that through man, God's influence can be extended into the physical realm. If we take the understanding of man out of that crucible, then man has no reason for existence. Because part and parcel of the dream of God was that man would be a functionary that operates with delegated authority, thereby having the capacity to fulfill the dominion mandate. Are you still with me? Are you following me? Man, according to design, was to be created in the image of God and to be created after the likeness of God. Why? He's to be created in the image of God so that he can have the capacity to operate in the authority of God. And I'll explain that if time permits. He was created in the likeness of God so that he can represent God. So man was going to operate in representative capacity, and man was going to operate under delegated authority. So in the entire creation of God, man is the only creature that is not original. Goat. A goat is created after its kind. A cow is created after its kind. But man was created after the image of God and after the likeness of God. The original for man is God. Man is just a miniature copy of an eternal reality. If you are still with me, say amen. So the idea is that man was created to be an administrator in God's kingdom, to extend the influence of God's invisible kingdom into physical territorial spaces. Are you there? Now, in order for us to fulfill this assignment, we are going to function in God's authority. So the authority we carry here is delegated. God will delegate authority to you so that you can represent him and you can administer some of his business that is associated with your calling. So what God offered us in Eden is not salvation. He offered us kingdom. And the rebellion of man made us to lose the opportunity to walk under God's authority. And it happens to be that if God cannot exercise, can we really talk tonight? I don't know. Can we talk? If God cannot exercise his authority in your life, then it means God cannot fulfill his divine purpose in your life. So you might find a conductor, one boy that's a conductor on the street, calling passengers in his bus. And maybe your eye just opens. And you see that he was ordained to be a prophet. The reason why he's not a prophet is because he has not put himself in a situation where God can exert his authority over his life. As long as God cannot exert his authority over his life, it cannot become God's vision. It cannot become God's, it cannot fulfill God's idea. Are you with me? So in the kingdom of God, operating under the influence of God's authority is critical. Because that's the only way that God will have the right of way to manipulate your life according to the counsel of his will. You are not following me. Okay, let me come back. So, now that the judicial aspect has been concluded, it will also interest you to know that God's original plan was not salvation. God's original plan was for us to inherit his kingdom and function in his kingdom. So, salvation is a remedial initiative. It's a restorative agenda to bring us back to where? Where? Kingdom. And that's why in the book of John chapter 3, Jesus says Except a man be born again, he cannot perceive the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God will be a civilization that is beyond his reach. He will need to be born again in order for him to be able to perceive the kingdom. And when he begins to perceive the kingdom, he will have an opportunity to enter. You are not following? Pastor, Venerable Ike, let me see your phone. What kind of phone is that? Samsung. Alright. You know, when you bought that phone, it is possible for you to use, there are some features on the phone that you can use without a SIM card. You can connect your earpiece and store some music inside, and the phone becomes a radio. The phone, if you have the adequate application, the phone can become a calculator. In fact, without a SIM card, you can connect Wi-Fi to the phone, and the phone can become a television. But the point is, when you bought the phone, it's not a television that you had in mind. When you bought the phone, it's not a calculator that you had in mind. In fact, there's also touch light. Just in case there's darkness, you can touch the thing, it will produce touch light. Those are capacities that the phone has within the scope of its local content. But the true potential of the phone will be realized when you insert SIM card. The moment you insert the SIM card, the phone now switches on another capacity. Through the SIM card, it has access to the network and it can maximize the potential of the network. It's like a new civilization. Through the potential of the network, you can send text messages. Through the potential of that network, you can do video call. Your wife is in America. And say, there is snow there. You can see through the potential of the network. Now, that's the same kind of thing that happened to you when you gave your life to Christ. The SIM card in the person of the Holy Spirit was inserted into your spirit. And it exposed you to a civilization that is captured in the kingdom of God. So you can now perceive what is happening in the layer of God. And except you are born again, that level of perception is not available to you. You get that? It means there is another side of our salvation that is not judicial. That side is organic. Check your scripture, Romans chapter 5, verse 10. He said, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more, that means the enterprise of our restoration, the enterprise of our regeneration transcends mere legal realities. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So we enter into the organic dimension through the Holy Ghost. So we have the judicial dimension, and then we have the organic dimension. We have the legal dimension, and we have the living dimension, experiential dimension. So that our walk with God is not plastic. It is organic. It is living. It is interactive. It is experiential. If you are still with me, say amen. So, now, when I pray, I can begin to perceive what is on the mind of God. A massive field of possibility has opened to me just because I have the Holy Ghost in my spirit man. And my spirit is regenerated, is made alive to be able to adequately synchronize with the person of the Holy Ghost that is domiciled within my spirit. Are you following me? Oh my, you are not following me. You know, when I notice you are not following, you know what I normally do? The syllables, we just reduce it. So, are you there? So, now that you got that, you see, because of the judicial angle of our salvation, there are several blessings that are available to us. One of those blessings is forgiveness. Because the same reason why we are saved, which is the blood of Jesus is the basis for the satisfaction of the judicial side, the blood of Jesus is still the basis upon which forgiveness is predicated. For the Bible says, in him we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So all of that is available through the potential that is in the blood of Jesus. So, someone that doesn't want to let go sin can say, because there is forgiveness, meanwhile, it will interest you to know, on the matter of forgiveness, I've read wide. I tried to find all the major religions of the earth, whether there is a promise of forgiveness in any of them. I found none. And I don't want to go doing philosophy. There's no religion on earth that has a promise of forgiveness. Only Christianity. Are you still with me? Alright, so it is possible for someone to say, because there is forgiveness, so we can sin now, and then we'll take advantage of the possibility of forgiveness to make up for our sin every time that we are weak and we yield to sin again and again because forgiveness is available. Then Apostle Paul comes to the rescue in the book of Romans chapter 6 verse 1 and he throws a question to us. And the reason why he answered the question himself is because he knows that our generation is coming. Because if that question is not answered, all kinds of philosophies, schools of thought, theological blocks will rise on the strength of this question. He said, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? You are likely to continue in sin if you do not understand the implication of the judicial aspect that has been settled. You are likely to. And meanwhile, someone that wants to continue in sin is someone that has been deceived by sin. Because sin has deceiving capacity. Sin has a psychology. It goes around with some products. And he's selling the product. What he wants to gain, what he wants you to gain from the product he's making available is pleasure. So sin actually markets pleasure. And if we say pleasure, what exactly is pleasure? Sin takes advantage of your appetites, the appetites of your body. The desire to eat is legitimate. Oh, you are not answering anything. Because I'm talking about sin, everybody says. Are you still following? The desire to eat food is legitimate. It's neutral. The desire to sleep is neutral. That's how sex is. It's also supposed to be neutral. However, the Bible makes us to understand that every one of us that knows what to do and refuses to do it, to him. You know the meaning of that? Satan can take advantage of your tiredness. Maybe you finish working in the bank and you come back home. You come back by 9 o'clock and you are tired. And then the Holy Spirit now gives you a transmission that I want to fellowship with you. I tried to invade your bank time and there was no opportunity. Now that you are less busy, can you give me my own time? And you know that he's calling you. He was able to make the impression so solid that he communicated effectively. But because of your tiredness, You decided to yield to the tiredness. Now, sin makes you rebel against God. That day that you yielded to that tiredness instead of responding to God, that day your sleep was a sin. That's what I'm saying. Because Satan, you are not following me. You are not following me. I'm just saying, sex is neutral, just like sleep. But the day you have sex apart from what God's law allows, it is sin. But if you have it within the allowance of God's law, in fact, it can increase their anointing. So this power called sin will be striving with every appetite that you have in your body in order to gain mastery of you with the hope of drawing you away from God. And that power called sin is a consistent reality that we need to combat with. Are you with me? And I'm speaking on your organic level. The organic level. That the spiritual capital that God made available for us to prosecute our Christian life, which happens to be the person of the Holy Spirit in the measure that God ordained that we should carry him, is more ancient than sin, and he has the capacity to undo the desires of sin. So if I begin to press into the Holy Ghost, if I acknowledge that without the Holy Spirit, I have no capacity whatsoever to overcome sin. Oh, you're not. You know, I told you that the first principle that we must acknowledge if we are going to maximize the spiritual capital that is upon our lives is to acknowledge our inadequacy. I'm confronting you with an inadequacy that is unique to all of us, is peculiar to all of us. It's called sin. Sin is spiritual. Your will doesn't have the power to overcome sin. And that's why people that are addicted to smoking, to immorality, they need deliverance. They need to superimpose the influence of the spirit that is superior to sin and the demons that accompany it, so that through the help of the Holy Spirit, our infirmities can be swallowed up. So the Bible says it is the Spirit that helpeth our infirmity. The Holy Ghost will not come into your space to undo the slavery that your infirmities were determined to bring you into, except you acknowledge your spiritual inadequacy. The shape of the New Testament, which is powered by the resource called grace, is such that no man can boast, because it's not your effort that is responsible for your victory. Yes, that's the shape of the New Testament. So a man that claims to be walking in the grace of God and his shoulder is like this does not know God. And he doesn't know the Bible, neither does he know the framework that our redemption has brought us into. It is because the law failed, because our fall was grievous, that God introduced the system of grace. And in the system of grace, it is God that is at work. It is God that is the empowerment. It is God that is the reinforcement. It is God that is the ability, so that no man has the opportunity within the framework of that provision to boast. Are you with me? Because it is no longer by power, neither is it by might, but it is now by the Spirit of God. So your humanity and the powers of your flesh and the education, the PhD you got from University of Enugu, doesn't have any part to play in this arrangement. You know, it's a very humbling situation for you to be brought to a place where this your wisdom is not needed. And the flesh wants to have a say even in your spiritual life. And as long as you still yield to the flesh, even in spiritual things, it's a sign that you have not yet understood the shape of the new context. Because in this arrangement, there is only one that can glory, and that is the Lord himself. Are you there? So when Venerable Ike called me to preach, the first thing I did through my personal assistant was to say, "We will not minister in the morning, no." And I, even though he has added morning and I yield to it, he has added tomorrow morning. Now, the idea is this. If the meeting is going to be in the evening, I have all day to pray. Yes. Before 3 o'clock, before 3:30, God will answer me. So I will start the prayer in the night by 10. Because I know it doesn't come quickly. God is a king spirit. You are not with me. He is a king spirit. He's not a servant spirit. You know, they send demons. They say, "Ogugu, go." You cannot send God on errand like that. Because... God is a king spirit. And a king spirit will only move when he wants to move. So you will learn how to wait. Yes, in the psychology of seeking God, there is something called wait. Because it's not by power. It's not because you are doing like this. When you finish doing like this for 2 hours, sit down and wait. Some people will come and cry. When you finish crying, nothing will happen. Sit down and wait. So if you know the shape of the presence of God at all, you will know that the one that sits in that presence is a king, and he will only rise if he wants to rise, when he wants to rise, the way he wants to rise. Now, that's why he gave us callings. Callings are covenants that will guarantee that he will rise. If not, he has no business to. So you were doing your own thing, he called you and said, "Oh yeah, separate yourself unto me. I have something with you. I have decided to put myself in a position where your faith can influence me because of what I have with you." Do you understand that? It doesn't come quickly. You say, "There was never a time I did 3 days dry fasting that God spoke. Never. So I've stopped doing it. The one I do now is like 200 days of eating once in a day. You will come before the 200 days, 264 days, 245 days. They're in the midst. The last one I did, it was 264 that he came. When I did 197, he spoke to me and said, "I can see that you are praying." I said, "What do you mean by this? I've been here for 100." Now please help me tell your neighbor he's a king. When you start, they will create a calendar for you that, okay, it is this day that I will have chance for you. I'm attending to other matters. Let him continue. Let him continue. Most of you will now do 7 days dry and leave. You don't understand where you are. You don't know where you are. You don't know where you are. I began a fasting and prayer. And sincerely, I'm not trying to advertise my spirituality. If that's what you see, I apologize. That's not my intention. Hallelujah. So I began this fasting and prayer. And you know, I was not taught. The elders that knew the truth did not tell us. They did not tell us that before it would take time before Jesus will come to you. No, but you can see angels. Oh, no. Are you with me? Now, God will give me the grace to practicalize what I'm teaching you this night. So that you will know. I did fasting for like 7 months. 4 angels came into my room. I couldn't see them with my physical eyes. But I knew in my spirit that there were beings inside of the room. So I now asked God, I said, if you are responsible for these things that are happening here, let heat, this heat I'm sensing, let it come on my head, which it happened. That was when I was 7, and I was teaching further mathematics and physics. So I calculated the probability of it being... the probability of that touch being from God, I calculated it. It was slim. I said, I'm sorry, this, I'm not sure, because even in probability, this one you did now, it's not proof enough that you are the one that did it. That if it is you, move the thing, put it here. It happened. You know, I was not taught. I made another final request and it did it. So I now said, I'm sorry, it's not as if I'm testing you, but you know, while I was apologizing, that was when I saw the first angel. He opened my spirit and I was able to see the first angel. Now, if that angel comes, I will know. Don't worry. The angel, wait, let's make it come. Wait. You are off. You are. We can't proceed. We can't proceed. Now, listen. I have preached like this before. I went back to the room. And in prayer, God now said, who were they clapping for? And I couldn't answer. So, you to protect me so that I will protect you. May the Lord give you understanding. Now, after 7 months, angels began to visit me. I started understanding how they operate. I started understanding how they communicate and how to communicate with them. Well, have you studied your Bible? Zechariah was communicating with Gabriel. So you can actually communicate with them, and they communicate with you. So instead of me continuing my fasting, because it is God I wanted to encounter, He released angels and I was satisfied. I operated in that angelic dimension for 5 years before it occurred to me that this was not what I was looking for. I'm still talking about the organic level, the organic dimension. Because it's the Holy Spirit that will give you the power of discernment inside of your spirit to be able to discern the presence of an angelic being. It means the Holy Spirit will introduce you to spiritual beings. I'm still talking about the organic dimension. Most of, oh my God, hallelujah. They are wonders in the realm of God, just like there are wonders in the realm of GSM, and you got an Apple phone, Android, Samsung Ultra 2023. You got it because of the new features, so that you can explore the GSM network more perfectly. So you cast away your Nokia 3310 because Nokia 3310 could not explore it adequately. That's why you were looking for a more sophisticated phone. Are you with me? There are technologies that are domiciled in that realm. And these technologies are for us to explore. Now, one of the things that you must note in this conference is that God wants to provoke us to explore God the way astronauts explore space. So when I began to to press. Angels began to visit me in the room. And I realized that it is the presence of angelic beings. Have you ever been in service before and you forgot time? Has it happened to you before? Okay, or you were praying and then you forgot. Ah, time has. It happens when angels visit. You lose all sense of time. You receive an impartation of their own dimension. Time becomes nothing. So you didn't feel when time was passing because you were plunged into a reality, a depth that was superior to time. Something that existed before time was created. So I came into this experience of angels, and he began to teach me different types, because there's one that comes and that one comes with fire. There's another one that came to activate my prophetic ministry. So that's, are you there? In the book of Revelation chapter 1, you will notice John told us his experience. He says the revelation of Jesus, which God gave unto him to show his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. The word signified in that scripture in Greek means by sign language. So the book of, are you with me? That book of Revelation was signified to John through spiritual signs. And the spiritual signs came through the vehicle of an angelic personality. If we were only ministers, I would have gone deeper. And I would have told you the things that I've seen in various territories. The things I've seen. I have a gift, the gift of discernment of spirit. I can see the forces in territories. I would have told you a few stories if we were just ministers. So I began to enjoy the realm. Education continued. Then after 5 years, I realized this was not the syllabus. May you not be stuck with power. There's something more than power. Meanwhile, one of the angels has come. No, don't worry. Just leave me. Don't rejoice. Don't say amen. No. So one of them has come. Just so that you will believe me. Because I know you don't believe. So that you will believe. That's why I want to do what I want to do. But my lecture has not finished. This angel that has come here, he came with a linen garment, a cloth, a piece of cloth that is like linen, shining and glistening. And the reason why the angel came with this linen garment is because there is a lady that is in our midst. This lady is like 23 years old. When you were 13 years old, God chose you to be one of the functionaries that will carry his presence from place to place. And this presence is what is symbolized by this linen garment. Now, if what I'm saying is true, in the next 23 seconds, anywhere that lady is seated, this angel is going to cover her with the garment in 23 seconds. I'll be counting so that now, so what I'm doing now is because of the education. You see, the same way I picked that the angels are here, there's also a very terrible demon that has come here. So the hand of God will be strong on that lady, because today is the day of our commissioning. The linen garment is going to rest upon her, and it will rest with intensity. Have you found the girl, Usher? They are supposed to be more than one. No? Have you found the second one? Is there any altar on this level? Any altar on this level? Because look around, you will find another one on that level. Now, can you still stay with me? Just stay with me. You are not with me. Stay. So the reason why I did this is because of your unbelief, so that you will know that I had such encounters and received education from the Holy Spirit about this realm. Huh? If you know what I'm talking about, if you know what I'm talking about, we can actually stop rain with this matter. Yes, we can stop. Maybe we'll have a crusade, something that is legitimate, and then rain wants to come. We can stop it. And it will still rain somewhere here. It will still rain close to the crusade, but it will not rain on the ground. After 5 years, I realized it was God I was looking for. I was not told that when you are about to have an encounter with God, what He does is that He releases angels to begin to visit you. If you can contain the aura of God that is around the angels, if you can contain it, then you are being prepared to be able to stand before His Majesty. I'm talking about the organic side, the living side. There are realities trapped in that side, and your recreated human spirit is the vehicle through which you can contact. Just the idea of the rebuilding of the tabernacle of David is setting up a system where we can access God without the protocols of the temple. And that's the arrangement that has been made available to us in the New Testament. But the problem is, the average believer doesn't want to explore. So experientially, I've discovered that dry fasting doesn't work for me. You do 7 days, you do 3 days. No, I've stopped that. In your own spiritual journey, when you start your journey, you will know what works for you. There are people in our midst that if they go on 3 days dry, they can be raptured into the heavens. That means the same way the Bible says that we need to study our body, so that every man needs to study your own body, so that you can carry yourself in holiness. That's the same way you are going to be a student of your spiritual life, so that you will know what works for you. Because in the school of the Spirit, we don't attend classes together. The classes are custom made. They are designed for you according to your calling and according to the texture of grace that you are being modeled to ultimately carry. So in my own calling, I am being shaped to carry divine authority. The kind of authority that will equip me to become a spiritual warrior. So if Satan is doing something in the neighborhood, I'm concerned, because I'm raised for that kind of job, to fight, to kill, to destroy. That's the shape. So it also justifies the training. It also justifies the strategy. Oh, you're not with me. You must find yourself in the Spirit. You must find yourself. You are a unique entity in the Spirit, and you must find yourself. You must find the utensils and the tools that God has ordained that you will carry, that will be an equipment through which you can realize the glory of your calling. Because every calling, whether teacher, pastor, evangelist, prophet has his own glory. And you must find yours. You must find yours. So it took 5 years. I was laboring in this dimension until it occurred to me that when I began to fast, the reason for which I was fasting was because I wanted to encounter God. So I continued my fast from the moment I realized. Now, meanwhile, it's 5 years interval, and I still have the angelic dimensions that I was allowed to encounter was preparatory to my ultimate encounter that will give me shape. And I'm telling you, if there's anyone that knows the realm of the spirit here, your encounters can become a reason why you don't walk the journey to the end. Just because you don't discern the purpose for which the encounters come. As critical as having encounters are in the journey of a Christian, it helps deepen your conviction. It helps deepen your faith. It helps you to become at home with your ideals, even though nobody else believes in your values. Encounters bring that kind of depth. But you see, you must understand the meaning of the encounters you have had so that it doesn't become a barricade that blocks you from the ultimate purpose that God had in mind. I can walk into the congregation now because the second one has come, and I can minister in this congregation prophetically for another 4 hours non-stop. Different things will be happening here. That's the angelic realm. It has opened. I can do that for 4 hours. All these people here, they will be under their seats. All this. I can do that. It's the angelic realm. I know it. I was trained to understand it. But you see, the reason for the fasting was because I wanted to touch God, to know the mind of God, to know what He wanted, to know what His desire was. Because there's a difference between success and fruitfulness. In success, you are using God to accomplish your own objective. But in fruitfulness, you are allowing God to use you to achieve His own objective. So you can use the power of God and the anointing of God and prophetic anointing to achieve your own purpose. You can use it to get money, to build a house, to do stuff. What you are doing is that you are successful in the eyes of men, but you are not yet fruitful. The reason for which God gave you the anointing, it has not yet started happening. May we not be carried away and distracted by the very gifts that God has given us. May we not be blinded to God by the things that God has given us, either material or spiritual. In the name of Jesus Christ. So I continued in the fast. So I traveled to one country, and when I got into that country, I got in by 2 a.m. in the morning. I was ushered into the hotel by 3:50 a.m. in the morning, and Jesus comes into my room. He came with a brightness that was so intense that had the capacity to blind the human eye. So I had to bend and to lie on the floor. And he passed my room for 9 to 12 seconds. And he told me, the youth. He said it 4 times. He said, use your power of sight to deliver them from destruction, and I will open the gates of nations to you. So I left that country. When I came back, I started hopping from campus to campus, preaching, teaching, manifesting the power of God. Preaching, teaching, salvation, Holy Ghost baptism, power. I did this for 12 years and went around Nigeria 6 times. Because of a 9 to 12 seconds encounter, the meaning of my life for 12 years was captured in a moment of 9 to 12 seconds encounter with Jesus. It was when I had that encounter that I knew the purpose for which I was given, attached those angels for apostolic ministry. Oh, you are not with me. There is a temptation for you to think that the first consignment of anointing that you have is the ultimate anointing. And it's a third run. Many people truncate at the first level and they never go beyond it. In fact, some become carnal and enter into sin, and God withdraws even the anointing. I've seen men, the next time you quote that scripture, the calling of God, the gift of God, I've seen a man that moved in grace and he got into serious immorality. Today he's flat. There is no anointing on his life, but he's still alive. So the next time you quote that scripture, just know that you might be quoting it with a wrong understanding, because I've seen the grace of God, the anointing of God withdrawn from a man, and the man is still alive. Not just one man, many men. I've seen it. That was when I knew this was the purpose for the anointing. And I started going from campus to campus. If you put me on the campus now, the level of anointing you will see, that's my real platform. I was on it for 12 years. After 12 years, I was preaching somewhere in New York, and he came again. He said, go and resign. I was in the oil industry for 16 years. When it was time for me to move into the management cadre, Jesus comes to me and says, resign now. Do you know what it means to be in the management cadre? You don't know. It means that the government will give you 20 million for house rent every year. 20 million. That's what it means. People can kill you for it. Your monthly salary will be 1.8 million. And if by any means you sleep outside of your home because of national service, you are paid in dollars for one night, 24 hours. Oh, you are paid in dollars. And your house rent is 20 million. It will come in January. That was where I was going. The great one came and said, resign. Resign. You know, the first time he said, if I'm faithful to the youth, he will open the gates of nations. So he said, I should resign because it's time to go to the nations. I cannot go to the nations and do this job. So resign. And the moment I resigned on the 5th of October 2020, the anointing doubled. So for every layer, are you with me? That's what will cause problem. That clap will cause problem between me and you. So I say, protect me so that I can protect you. When I minister now, it's a platform of trembling, because I need to go after this meeting and stand before him and say, was it you I served? You don't know this place that I'm talking about. It's a sacred place. It's a slippery place. The bones of many men that didn't know how to order their steps in that corridor are lying by the side of the pathway. He said, resign. I want to take you to the nation. Then the grace. I now discovered second key. It's called obedience. The more you sacrifice to obey, the grace will increase. The more you sacrifice to obey, the grace increases. Oh my God. Oh my God. You know, I told you one demon came here. You will see it before we close. You will see it. You will see it. You will see it. We do not boast. We know Jesus. We know Jesus. We are called to preach his counsel. And he comes to back up the words that he has put upon our mouth. Hallelujah. So when I began to operate at the second level, I now discover God, if he loves you, he begins to give you instructions. The former three times have I made, O Theotokos, fill us of all that Jesus began both to do and to preach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, through the Holy Ghost, he had given commandment unto his apostles whom he had chosen. So the proof that you are one of his apostles that he has chosen is that he will give you commandments. He will give you commandments about your financial life. He will give you commandments about your prayer life. One time he came to me and said, if you want to see me from now henceforth, look for me in the night. It doesn't mean it's bad to pray in the daytime, but he gave me a commandment. And my commandment is not a doctrine. It's not something that I impose on people. This is my own personal walk with God. Look for me in the night. So I start in the night. 10 o'clock. When sleep is coming, I shake it. Every sacrifice that you pay in order for you to obey gives you access to unlimited resources in the realm of the spirit. So each and every one of us must learn how to practice obedience. Obedience from what you see in the Bible first. Do you pay tithe? Do you honor him with your substance? With the first fruit of all your increase? With a basic obedience, you make it a practice. Because the proof that you remember the word of God is that is obeying it. Because if you don't obey it, you will forget it. If you obey it, it becomes part of the realities that your heart has handled, your heart has contained. If you are a believer that is determined to perpetually obey God, are you there? You will begin to discover that you become sensitive to the things that God wants. God can come to you and say, stop watching Champions League. Oh, I know. I know you don't know that I used to be a footballer. I know. Venerable, I know you don't know that. I used to play number 10. I was a midfielder. Yes. I can still play till now. It's not that I discovered that the left leg was dead. It's only right. So I knew I won't go far. So for me, football was something more than the ordinary. And then he came and visited me one day and said, it's time for you to stop watching football. I died. But when I agreed, he removed football from my heart. Even if I sit before it now, it's boring. But it was something. He knows what can constitute an idol. And the instructions that he will give you is consistent with the likely idols that you can have in your heart. The more you obey him, the more he's at liberty to equip you. It means you are becoming a profitable servant. So he must make more resources available. Number 3. You will have to pray much, very much, very much. If you want to keep pace with God, your spirit man must be exercised on a daily basis, continually. It must be exercised. I no longer count how many hours I pray in a day. I used to count it when I was much younger in the faith. So I did 7 hours. I did 12 hours. I did 18 hours of prayer. But I don't count it anymore because it's a lifestyle now. What I'm looking for is God. And if I don't find God, I won't stop. So it doesn't matter how many hours. Those 7 hours are dead if I don't find God. You will pray much. You will pray much until the spirit of supplication comes upon you. The spirit of supplication will make prayer easy. It will give you the stamina to be able to stay until God comes. The spirit of intercession, when it is locked upon your spirit, you will forget about yourself. And then you begin, as you pray, you begin to see people in the assembly, in the church. And then you begin to pray for them. The spirit of intercession can keep you on your knees. For those people that like kneeling down, my best prayer posture is lying on the bed. Find your own. There is no scripture that says all of us must kneel down. In fact, if I kneel down, I will sleep off. So I found out that lying down works for me. Have you found your prayer posture? Just like every preacher has a prayer voice, every music minister has a singing voice. And your prayer voice is that voice that you have when you have. You know your preaching voice? The one that comes out when you have spoke prayer. There is a unique voice that even if you hear it, you know, I don't get it. I don't get it. That voice, that's a voice. There's a voice like that. There is a voice. Every preacher knows what I'm talking about. And the day you have not gauged, you'll be looking for that voice. It's not available. I know that voice. When I hear that sound, everything that you do is going to be enhanced by prayer. Your Bible study, the revelations that you can access, the things that you can understand in the realm of the Spirit as you travel, is going to be enhanced by a life of prayer. The Bible says, and he spake a parable to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. I will pray. I will not faint. I will pray. Because that is the lifeline that God makes available for a man that has come to the realization of his incapacity, of his infirmity. The lifeline God makes available is the pathway of prayer. That your life will be a result of your capacity to exercise your spirit. Because the things of man will come out of the spirit of man. And no man knows the things of man except the spirit of man that is in him. Your things, your destiny, your capacity, it will come out of your human spirit. For the Bible says that the spirit of man shall sustain his infirmity, but a broken spirit who can bear? So if Satan wants to really attack you, are you there? If he really wants to attack you, what he does is that he wants you to come to a position where your spirit is broken. Because that's the only vehicle that has the capacity to sustain your infirmity. The reason for the marital challenges, anytime you are coming from a crusade and you hit the devil will jump on your wife. And then your wife will be with you. The reason for... Are you there? The reason for those challenges, anything that you did that was not the perfect will of God becomes a tool in the hands of the devil. You just married because you found a fine woman. When you start pressing into God, everything that is not God's perfect will begin to shake. Because Satan wants to find a way to break your spirit. Because he knows that a broken spirit, who can bear? I was discipling a young intercessor, and I told her, I say, just go, don't worry. Go and grow up. Go, maybe it takes 5 years and just be a Christian. After 5 years, I will come back. He said, no, I want to be
A woman of fire.
You want fire? Okay. Say, okay, let's go. As she started pressing, I told her the storms will come. They will come so terribly that we shake everything around your life. Are you serious? So the storm started. I mean strange things. Because the kingdom of darkness knows your potential. It knows what you can become if you realize that you have wings with which you can mount up into places in Zion. It knows. It doesn't want you to explore your wings. It doesn't want you to go to places, high places in Zion, to learn of secrets that were put in place before creation began. That's why the Bible is full of the miscalculations of the devil, because there were several secrets that were secured in God before creation began, and Satan happens to be a created being. Any man that is going to best Satan must have access to those fundamental secrets in Zion. When you begin to mount up, he knows that you are on rampage to discover how to best him. Everything in your environment, he will shake it. If you gain mastery and you find out how to operate without allowing the things shaking in the environment to affect your spirit, you become a master. Oh, your finances, as long as it will affect you, he will keep shaking it. Whenever it's time to pay school fees, he will bring famine. When he sees that your emotion is connected to your financial state, he has dealt with you. He has put you in a position where your mind is staying ahead of your spirit. So your mind is analyzing. Your mind is looking at the situation, and you can no longer see God from that posture. There is a hole in your armor. And if Satan wants in that situation, he can strike you down. But you will drive with your spirit. When you drive with your spirit, then your capacity for faith begins to enlarge. And when your capacity for faith begins to enlarge and you begin to see God, Satan will still be in the environment, but he will not mean so much to you anymore. Only dead men can arrive up there. May the Lord close your eyes to the distractions so that you can mount up with wings like eagles. He will play with your finances. You will think that, oh, it's the location that I'm in that is responsible for my situation. One of my friends ran. He ran to our father in the Lord. He said, I'm suffering. And a door just opened in the United States. I just want to enter into it and see what God will do there. He told him, my son, a lizard in Nigeria will not become an alligator in the United States of America. You are still a lizard. You are still a lizard. Eh? If you can't conquer this your bush, this your village, how do you think you can conquer Belgium? That's your hard ground. It's a good training for your spirit. Oh my God. We don't see that God loves us. That hard ground. When I was going into Makurdi to start ministry, that's the land where all the ministries who want to become prominent will die. I can give you a long list. It's a ground that swallows its inhabitants. Senior men of God gave me the list of people that have been extinguished by the demon of the land. They counseled me, don't go and make noise, go and pray. If God shows you mercy, and it's if, they say, whether you succeed is based on if. If God. It means no other strategy can work except God. The skills I learned in that hard ground, how to hear God, how to do deliverance, because almost every other person was possessed. So you must know, before you have members in your choir, you will do deliverance for them first. Is there any deliverance that has succeeded that can now move to choir? If not, the whole thing, the entire system will be a releasing strange fire. They say the deliverance that I learned in that territory, how to destroy charms, to release people from covenants, how to do spiritual warfare, that was the same skill I used in Belgium. Because of all the cities in this world, nations in this world, they have little stories of revival. 18 something, 17 something, Belgium has never had a revival. So the witchcraft, the instant witchcraft from the foundation, is still there. And you say you couldn't deal with your village, that's Belgium, you want to go and prosper. A lizard in Nigeria will not become an alligator in Belgium. It's the same deliverance that I learned in my corner. Because by the time we got there, three witches had seized the atmosphere. And the presence of God could not penetrate. I know that thing. I knew it from my corner. God, that hard place God put you is a blessing. So that you can learn how to use the equipment that He has placed upon your life. Don't run away from that place. If you ever become a master, it means you learned how to use your utensils to fight. Tonight, something will go down. You will see. Something that Satan has planted will go down this night. You don't need to believe it. Oh. Satan, he knows that if you go there, you will find something. So he will shake everything. Shake your finances. The time will come, it will bring sickness on every member of the family. Are you with me? Because of time, I have to stop. Rise on your feet.
We bless your name. We bless your name. We bless your name. Jehovah. We bless your name.
No. Just leave them.
We bless your name. We bless your name, Jehovah. We bless your name. We bless your name. We bless your name, Jehovah. We bless your name. 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 Jehovah. Jehovah. We bless your name. We bless your name. We bless your name. We bless your name. We bless your name, Jehovah.
Can we pray one prayer tonight quickly? That the Lord will keep us focused. That we be not caught up by the distractions that Satan is making around us.
We bless you.
Keep us focused, Lord.
We bless your name. We bless your name. Now, first thing I want to do is to pray for miracles. Second thing I will do is to pray for the release of the anointing, especially for ministers of the gospel. We have the mandate to change our life. This is the way by which we can effect this change. We'll pray for it, for the Lord to release it. In the name of Jesus. I say, in the name of Jesus. Now listen to the instructions. If you are deaf in one of them, maybe on the back, put it there. You have a growth, the cancer, fibroid, tumor. That place where you can feel the growth, just hold it. You have an eye condition, remove your spectacles, lay your hands on your eyes. If your condition is genetic, maybe your genotype is SS and you are trusting God for either AS or AA, put your hand on your chest. Now, after this prayer, go to the lab tomorrow. Tomorrow is Thursday. Go to the lab tomorrow and conduct a test before, so that we can know your status. If I say in the name of Jesus, give me a loud amen. We'll do that 7 times to sanitize the entire atmosphere. In the name of Jesus! And sometimes when you say amen that loud, it gives me the opportunity to see into the realm of the spirit. For instance, I saw someone that is a teenager, like a teenager, and the person wet the bed. And I can see that it is a spirit of reproach. A spirit of reproach. And the target of that spirit is to affect your self-esteem, so that you will be unqualified for your own destiny in the future. But that spirit is going to be arrested tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ.
In the name of Jesus.
I see someone in our midst. Your father is late. Your father is late. But you saw your father in a dream recently and you were eating with him. If you are the one I'm talking about, can you wave your hand like this? Your father is late, but you saw yourself with your father and you were eating with him. Now, for those of you that are identifying with this call, make sure one of your hands is on your head. You don't need to come to the pulpit area. Make sure one of your hands is on your head. Can somebody advise that lady that I'm not asking her to come? Just listen to the instruction.
In the name of Jesus!
Someone in our midst, anytime you are close to a breakthrough, you have a particular dream, and the moment you have that dream, that breakthrough is destroyed.
Make sure your hand is on your head. Because just put that hand on your head, the hand you are raising, put it on your head.
In the name of Jesus!
I'm seeing that the source of a certain affliction taking place in a certain compound, and I can't tell if it's Onitsha, I can't tell, but I know it's the East anyway. There are evil materials that were buried in that compound. As we pray as a congregation tonight, those things that were buried will be affected, and your family will be liberated.
In the name of Jesus!
You see, the angels that are supposed to... We just received reinforcement. We just received reinforcement now. The Lord is pleased. So we dispatch some functionaries to bring reinforcement to us. Part of the things that I see that these functionaries have brought is a special anointing. We'll talk about that anointing later. This number what? Number 4.
In the name of Jesus!
Hey! Hey, you see, deliverance is already ongoing. Deliverance is already ongoing. I'm seeing charms that have been done against individuals. I'm seeing them failing already.
In the name of Jesus!
Oh my God. You see, the yokes are breaking already. The yokes are breaking. The demons are leaving. The demons are leaving.
In the name of Jesus!
Father, tonight we rebuke every spirit of infirmity, every disease, every sickness, every curse, every affliction.
We break the yoke of the devil in the name of Jesus. I bind every blinding spirit. Blinding spirits be bound. I bind every deafening spirit. Deafening spirits be bound. Spirits of paralysis, I arrest you in the name of Jesus. I command bones, come together. Bones, come together. Bones, come together. In the name of Jesus Christ. I address every blood condition, from HIV to hepatitis B, So genotypes that are unpleasant, I command that yoke to break in the name of Jesus Christ. Peace, go in Jesus' name. Afflictions, go in Jesus' name. Yokes be broken in Jesus' name. Satan, take your hands off in the name of Jesus!
And I speak to asthma. You spirit of asthma, I arrest you. I command your yoke, broken, 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 in the name of Jesus Christ! Every demonic bondage, I address
you be broken in the name of Jesus. I said to the eyes, see in Jesus' name. I said to the ears, hear in Jesus' name. I said to pain, go in the name of Jesus. Go in the name of Jesus. I said to the cancers, die in Jesus' name. Fibroid, die in Jesus' name. Tumors, disappear in Jesus' name. For those that are watching us online, I send the healing power of God your way in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. All right, miracles have started. Miracles have started. I'm seeing someone that had an accident. You had an accident and you injured somewhere around your spinal cord. You had this perpetual back pain since the time of that accident, but I see that the Lord has touched your spinal cord and He has effected a healing. So healings have started. Healings have started. Now, what did we sing just now? Choir, can you help me with that song? We'll sing it twice. You have 2 minutes to check your body. 2 minutes to check your body. 2 minutes to check your body. Thank you, Lord. When you notice that, when you check and you realize that there's a healing, maybe your eyes can see, your ears can hear, something has changed. So you come down to this place. Where is the pastor that helped me, the reverend that helped me yesterday? Right, so we have my friend. He will be equipped with a microphone to take your testimony. We'll take like 5 testimonies and then we'll go into the deliverance section. We're going to the deliverance section. I can see that someone's ear can hear. No, don't believe me. Check. And if you confirm it, you come down here. So we'll go into the deliverance section as we give people the opportunity to check. Now, this is the rule. The rule is this. If something happens, don't keep quiet. And if nothing happens, say nothing. So this is the place you will come. If you have detected that there's a change, you come down to the reverend by the foot of the altar, and he will take your testimony. Now, we want to do a deliverance moment for 5 minutes. Are you still with me? If you are with me, say amen. Amen. So we'll do a deliverance moment for 5 minutes. Just for 5 minutes. If you notice that there's a healing, something has changed, and you have verified it, you come down. No. Let's do our deliverance. You have the opportunity to come down to Reverend at the foot of the altar. He will examine you, and if he discovers that it's a real testimony, he will ask that it be shared. So you just confirm it. Okay, maybe Reverend. Go on. We'll take just a few. If you confirm it, I want to see the person that had the accident and you had pains around your back, your spinal cord, and the healing that God has done. I'm looking for that individual among these ones.
There's a brother here.
There's a brother
he said he had an accident sometime last month.
Had an accident sometime.
And it affected the lower back here, the waist.
Yes, it affected and the lower back.
There's been pain there, but now the pain is gone.
Okay,
the
stop. So come. Come. So let us test this your miracle. Can you go down? Let's be sure. Wait. Go down. Remain down. Okay. We want to believe you. Lord, in the name of Jesus, let it be permanent. In Jesus' name, you are released. Yes, Reverend, I'm waiting for you.
A pain at the lower abdomen area for over 2 years now, and it's gone.
Pain at the lower abdomen area gone. Can we celebrate the Lord Jesus? It is permanent in the name of Jesus. Yes?
A pain at the neck for over a week now, it's gone.
Pain on the leg gone for 1 week. Okay, yeah, it's gone. We give him praise in Jesus' name.
Toothache pain disappeared.
Toothache pain disappeared. Come quickly. Oh, yes. We give him praise in Jesus' name. I'm looking for someone with an eye condition. The eyes were blurry. The person came into this place and the eyes have flared out. I'm looking for that person. Yeah?
The right ear was totally deaf.
The right ear was
couldn't
deaf.
Couldn't receive sound, but now
couldn't receive sound. So, come. The ear deaf. Now, did you test it? Did you test it? Okay, I can hear. Can you give Jesus the glory? Lord, we return the glory to you in the name of Jesus. Yes?
Pain at the lower abdomen for over 4 years disappeared.
Pain on the lower abdomen for 4 years disappeared. Take the glory in the name of Jesus. Yes?
Neck pain for over 2 years that has resulted in taking severe drugs disappeared.
Neck pain gone, 2 years old. 2 weeks. 2 weeks. So did you test it? Okay, it's no longer there. It used to be here. Oh, we give you praise, we give you glory in Jesus' name. Yes?
Lump at the right hand breast, the right breast, for months now just disappeared.
So the lump has disappeared. Come. The lump has disappeared. Did you check it? Okay, she checked it. The lump has disappeared for like 5 months. It's been there?
4 months now.
It's been?
4 months.
So the lump has just disappeared. Lord, we give you praise, we give you glory. In the name of Jesus. Aye. So, you know, the healing is still. Yeah, go on.
Pain at the lower abdomen disappeared.
Pain at the lower abdomen disappeared. Yeah. You are free.
Pain at the lower abdomen since childhood disappeared.
Pain at the lower abdomen since childhood. Normally, this type has to do with a covenant in the family. So let us see. Father, in the name of Jesus, we use her as a point of contact to destroy any family-based covenant. And we decree that any other person implicated anywhere they may be under the sun is set at liberty tonight in Jesus' mighty name. You are released.
He was stabbed with a bottle since 2 years now.
Stabbed
since 2020. Stabbed with a bottle at the back.
At the back.
And since then the pain refused to go. But tonight it has disappeared.
Come. Stabbed at the back since 2020. And today the pain. You are here. You are here. You are here.
Celebrate Jesus tonight. Yes.
Chest pain of over 2 months disappeared.
Chest pain of 2 months disappeared. Chest pain disappeared. Lord, we give you praise. And we say it is permanent in the name of Jesus. Yes.
For over 2 months, she's not been able to move her right finger.
Her right finger.
Yes, but now she moves it freely without pain. And that pain of the neck disappeared.
Paralysis on the hand. Paralysis on the hand. Move it again. Let's be sure. All right. So life has come back to the hand. Lord, we give you praise. And we say it is permanent in the name of Jesus.
Chest pain for over a year disappeared.
Chest pain for over 1 year disappeared. Disappeared. All right. There are three people in the congregation with healings on their eyes and they have refused to come out. Three people. I see three people. Yes?
Toothache disappeared.
Toothache disappeared. Toothache disappeared. Oh yes, you are here. It's permanent in the name of Jesus. It's permanent in the name of Jesus. Where is the man with my timer?
Pain at the lower abdomen disappeared.
Pain on the abdomen disappeared. Okay. Yes, you are free.
Pain on the eyes and on the head over 3 months disappeared.
Pain on the eyes and on the head over 3 months. Yes, you are blessed. Permanent in the name of Jesus. Now, another reverend can help me with another mic to decongest. Seems the multitude is gathering there, and we must do the deliverance this night. We need 5 minutes for deliverance. That demon that came, we arrested. Meanwhile, there was a lady I was praying for. No time to finish the deliverance. Where is that lady? Lady, come on. We don't leave unfinished business. The lady of yesterday, we have business. Where are you? Come on. Yes?
She couldn't move the left arm for over a pain here that she could feel. Why moving the left arm? But it disappeared for over a year.
Okay, the pain has disappeared. Come. You are my guest. Come up. We have to. Did you test the arm? Did you test it? It's gone. Oh, you are here. Celebrate Jesus. You are my guest. Hey, come. Come. Hey, yes. How are you? All right, so I will just pray for you, okay?
Pains on the lower abdomen disappeared.
Pains on the lower abdomen disappeared. Where are those people with eye? Okay, yeah. You are here. The people with eye conditions. The left eye went blind. Your left eye went blind. And during the prayers, sight was restored. I'm waiting for that person.
The left eye has been cloudy, but okay. It has disappeared.
It has disappeared. Okay, come. Yeah, you are here. It's permanent in the name of Jesus. Somebody give him praise. Give him glory.
Since childhood, since he was born, the eyes have been serious issues. The sight blurry, water dropping. Even tonight before he came, or while he was here, it was there. But now, disappeared.
Okay, the Lord has touched his eyes. Come! Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. Yes?
You are blessed.
He couldn't see clearly with the right eye.
Couldn't see clearly.
But now it's clear.
It's clear now. Yes, it is done in Jesus' name.
She couldn't see far from a distance, but now she can see very well.
That's short-sightedness. Do you have glasses that you wear? Okay, you have not started using glasses. Okay. Yes, permanent. Now, we need to move to deliverance because I have just 12 more minutes. 12 more minutes left.
He couldn't see at all with the right eye, but now he sees a little.
Okay, his right eye was blind.
But now he sees a little.
Now you can see. Oh, you can see a little.
A little.
Come, come, come. Come. So, are you with me? You can see a little with the right eye now. Now, could you see before with it?
No.
So, but you can see a little.
Yes.
Now, so a healing has started. Can we enforce better sight for him? So spread forth your hand and say, Lord, let it open more. Pray now. Jesus. Lord, make it clearer. 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 In the name of Jesus. Now open your eyes. Is there any improvement from what you used to experience and now?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so now it's still improving?
Yes, sir.
Eh? Uh-huh. Now, that's not my fault, that's just the Lord. Hey! You see, Father, in the name of Jesus, we break the yoke and we release him completely in the name of Jesus. So as he goes, it will keep improving. Improving, that's total blindness there. The Lord just opened it up.
She was short-sighted.
Short-sighted.
Cleared then. She had severe pain at the lower abdomen after she discovered she had hepatitis B. But tonight, that pain at the abdomen gone.
Now, go and do a test. Come, come. Our time is going. Can you do a test maybe tomorrow? You will find out the Lord, even that your concern is God. Father, let the yoke of sickness break. Let her go. Let her go. Let her go. Let her go. Evil spirit, do a test. I challenge you. Do a test tomorrow. You will see that the Lord has done a miracle in Jesus' name. Yes, come, come. Father, we give you praise. Hey. We give you glory. And now I stand with your daughter against this spirit. I break the yoke. I release her from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet. Let the power of demons, the power of spirits, be broken. Be broken. I release you. I release you. In the name of Jesus, let the spell on your life, let it break. Let it break. That which ties your destiny, that which has brought delay, I confront it. By the power that is in the blood of Jesus. And I command it, break, 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 break. Let her go.
Let her go. Let her go. In the name of Jesus. Deliverance. What happened to mommy?
Mama had severe neck pain for over 10 years. She couldn't move the neck, but now she's free.
You have the neck pain. Come, come.
With blurry sight also cleared.
Okay, the blurry sight has cleared also. Somebody needs to shout hallelujah. Now that which was taken away from you, I command a restoration. 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 Yes. Everything, take it. Restore it. In the name of Jesus. Yes. You.
My neck. It's over 10 years.
Over 10 years?
Yes. Even anytime I bend, I stretch my head like this. It will take me, it will cease. It will take up to 5 to 10 minutes before I will regain my. I will regain again.
Try again. Try. Test.
I have been moving everywhere.
You have been moving. Hallelujah! The Lord is giving you. Oh my God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You are free forever. In the name of Jesus.
The little boy had severe teeth ache.
Okay.
But it's cleared tonight. It's gone tonight.
It's cleared. Now, in order for me not to violate time, I have to come down. All of you have testimony.
He had
toothache.
Pain.
And the pain has gone.
It's gone.
Oh my God. The Lord has healed this young man. It is permanent in the name of Jesus Christ. Who knows him? You are the mother. Are you aware of this situation? For how long has he been in this country?
Since he started eating, as an adult, it was coming out. The teeth we are not coming out freely. One will come, another one will come inside. But the one inside has fallen off and they come swollen up. So the thing has gone. But today as we are coming, he told me that he's having some pain at the upper part of his mouth. So after the prayers, he told me, mommy, it's gone.
You want your son to be a preacher? Huh? Father, in the name of Jesus, make him a preacher. Make him a preacher. Make him a preacher. In Jesus' name. Okay. 4 minutes for deliverance. I want to pray a powerful prayer. People on the line of testimony, just stand there. Just stand there. Just stand there. I want to pray a powerful prayer. In the name of Jesus. I can't hear your amen. I say in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Yeah. Father, tonight, every demonic influence, every chain, every covenant, tying people to darkness, tying people to patterns of the enemy, tying people to reproach. Tonight, we address the chains. We address the covenants. We address the curses. We address the affliction. In the name of Jesus Christ. Oh! Listen. I am seeing someone's affliction here is tied to a river. Tied to a river. I have 3 minutes. Father, in the name of Jesus, that one whose affliction is tied to the spirit of the river, I ask that you stretch forth your hand. Identify that individual. Identify that individual. Don't say amen again so that we can be fast. Also, if you can help me bring them here, I need to, with this deliverance must be complete. This deliverance must. They are, I'm seeing a river, a spirit from the river, a goddess, and that goddess, it must fall this night. That goddess must fall. That goddess. So if, oh my God, Father, anyone tied to the river, arrest that one. Arrest that one. Arrest that one. In the name of Jesus. Usher, bring them. I want to do the deliverance at once. This goddess that has been priding herself must fall this night. Must fall. We banish you from Onitsha. We banish you from the waters of the territory. We banish you in the name of Jesus. Bring all of them. Let's do it at once. Let's do it at once. We have come to uproot that which God has not planted. We have come to take away that which God has not ordained. That bondage that is tied to the river. Every victim of this goddess, I command the power of God to descend, to descend, to descend, to descend, to descend, to descend, to descend. Lose them. If I need your help, I will tell you. Bring them. We'll do it at once. We are messengers of light. And we come in the name of Jesus. By the power of his redeeming blood, we demand that you let her go. In the name of Jesus, we uproot her presence from your domain. We uproot her presence. Every covenant that links them to you tonight, by the power that is in the blood of Jesus, we destroy it. Hey, hey. Others, you are not helping me. You are not. There are people up there. There are people up there. I'm seeing someone on the balcony. On the balcony. Father, that one on the balcony, identify by fire. 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 Holy Ghost! Bring them. Bring them. Bring them. The days of the reign of darkness are over. So we decree your liberty. Come out of the bondage. Come out of the bondage. Come out of the bondage. Come out of the place where you were kept. In the name of Jesus Christ. Loose her. Now. There is reinforcement coming from heaven. There is reinforcement. So I want us to pray one prayer. Ah, you are not in the spirit. No, stop. Stop it. You are not in the spirit. Listen to me quickly. Listen quickly. This window that has opened now can secure several things. Can you cry? You are the prophet of your family tonight. Can you stand on behalf of your family and say, Lord, let everything that you have not planted in my family be rooted out. Tell him. Tell him now. Tell him now. Tell him now. Tell him now. Tell him. Tell him. Tell him. Tell him. Ye took him in the late. Yes, it's coming out. It's coming out. Come out from where you were kept. Come out from where you are hiding. Come out from the land of bondage. I told you, come in the name of Jesus. Let the yoke upon you. Let it be destroyed. Let it be broken. Jesus. I can't hear you. I say in the name of Jesus. Listen to me. Listen to me. I see the spirit of insanity in a certain family. The spirit of insanity. The door is open to the spirit of insanity. Father, that one here that represents the family that the spirit of insanity has gained entrance into, from my left hand side to my right hand side to the balcony, anyone representing the family that the spirit of insanity has entered, I ask, oh God, locate that person. 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 Holy Ghost! Now, can you keep quiet? Keep quiet. Stop praying. We need to help this family. Father, that one representing a family that the spirit of insanity has entered. Let your hand find the person. Because we are going to cast out that spirit. And any victim is going to be healed tonight. Oh yes. So serpentine spirits, spirits of immorality and seduction, I disarm your power. I break your power. I break your power. I break your power. I break your power. In the name of Jesus. Bring that victim. Bring that victim quickly. Because we are canceling the activities of the spirit of infirmity. Insanity will no longer be your portion. The one servicing the altar that is releasing this insanity to people, as we pray today, the bitter judgment of God will visit the priest. I need to touch him on his forehead, that's all. Wait, let me come to you. We close the door and let a bitter judgment come upon the priest manipulating people's destiny. Oh, we bring a curse on his feet. Your spell is broken. Your enchantment is rendered null and void. We release your captives in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. The power of the serpent breaks from off your life in the name of Jesus Christ. The power of the serpent breaks from off your life in the name of Jesus. We break the curse of reproach that has been haunting your family in the name of Jesus Christ. Finally, in the next 26 seconds, the oil that they brought, it will rest. Yes, in 26 seconds, in 16 seconds. Father, in the name of Jesus, can you distribute the oil? Distribute the oil. 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 No, it's coming now. It's coming. 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 Distribute the oil. Distribute the oil. Distribute the oil. Distribute the oil. Now listen. Those of you in the choir, do your hand like this.
Oh, all of you are in the choir? All right, so there's an oil that will come on you to upgrade your ministry. The choir, there's an oil. You just stretch your right hand in my direction. Stretch your right hand. Stretch your right hand in my direction. Father, in the name of Jesus, from among these ones, choose the ones you will anoint and upgrade their ministry. Choose the one you will anoint and upgrade their ministry. Choose the one you will anoint in the name of Jesus. Choose the one you will anoint. Okay, it's coming. It's coming. Choose the one you will. It's coming stronger. It's coming stronger. It's coming stronger. It's coming stronger. Heal us. It's coming stronger. Heal us. Choose the one you will anoint. Okay, okay, okay. Sister, look at me. Can you look at me? Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Just try, try. Just try. Stop shouting. Try. Look at me. Look at me. If you can look at me, you'll be free. Look. Look again. Okay. She's free. Hey. Wait, stop crying. Just look at me. Can you try? Stand up. Stand up. Don't close your... When I say open it, you are closing it. Look at me. Try. Okay. She's okay. Father, we give you praise. Sorry, my... Oh, they gave me 2 minutes. The person there is in the spirit. Listen to me. Listen to me. I see the horn of a prophet in our midst. The horn of a prophet, I see it. It's hanging. Now, so... I see the horn hanging. So the impartation will begin to come. One of the ministers, I don't know which one of you, when you leave this place and go home, your right hand will become hot. It is God that has left the healing anointing upon your hand. And anytime you use that hand, anytime you use that hand on the sick will recover. The sick will recover. Your right hand will become hot. The moment you leave this place, it will become very hot. It will become very hot. That therapy will continue for 3 days. It will come hot, it will go. It will come hot, it will go. It will happen for 3 days. And after that, there will be a consolidation of the healing anointing. I see fire coming from heaven. I see fire coming from heaven. I see fire coming from heaven. There are 14 people that will catch this fire. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. It's a fire. It's a fire. It's an equipment. It's an equipment. The hand of God is at work. The hand of God is at work. Don't tell me. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let the request of your servant be granted. Let the request of your servant be granted. In the name of Jesus. And so, Lord, tonight we thank you. We give you praise. The fountain that has opened. Let it not only affect men. Let it affect the territory. Let it affect the rivers of the land. Let it affect families. Affect clans, their compound. In the name of Jesus Christ. I ask your Father, let this fire that has been kindled, let it not be put out. In Jesus' name. Please don't move. Stand where you stand. Just don't move. Please, I beg you. Ministers, everybody, those of you in the front, stand where you are standing. Until the man of God leaves. Just don't move. I beg you. Just 1 minute. We're already about to go. Don't follow him. If you have any of